Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 50. Psalter 50, come ye that fear Jehovah, ye saints, your voices raise. Come stand in awe before him, and sing his glorious praise. Ye lowly and afflicted, who on his word rely, your heart shall live forever, the Lord will satisfy. Psalter 50, the three stanzas.
Scripture reading this morning can be found in Matthew 11, verses 16 tot 30, but first the Ten Commandments of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy man and servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 11, started by verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and called unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man, a gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Then begin he to abrupt the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Gerasim! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, It shall be a more terrible for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, shall be more terrible for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed unto them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he too, whosoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So far, the scripture reading.
We wish to remember in prayer Mrs. William Booter, who was in the hospital but is at home again. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Lord, it is in the morning of this thy holy day that we are permitted to come together in thy house of prayer, round about thy holy word and eternal testimony. Lord, thou art so right and just in all thy ways, and if thou would put us all aside, thou would yet be just and righteous. But, O Lord, thou hast yet sent thine only begotten Son, and thy word tells us that whosoever may believe in him shall have eternal life. And then that sinner learns it is so impossible on our side, but on thy side all things are possible. Oh, wilt thou yet give unto us a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that thou would grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Of ourselves we cannot pray, we cannot beg, we cannot seek thee, but Lord, then thou dost command yet that a man must come unto thee with all his needs and with all his cares. Oh, may it yet be pleasing in thy most holy sight that thou would gather with us on this Sabbath day, and that thou would yet crown thine own word with thy spirit, and that the Spirit may have work to do in this day. Then it is a wonder of all wonders. Lord, give yet that there is work to do in the midst of our flock here, and that thou would yet look upon them and care for them, supply unto them all that they need, and grant a token from above. The Lord, Thou knowest our hearts and the secrets within, and by nature no desire, by nature no longing to seek Thee. But when Thou dost come with the wind of the Spirit in the hearts, then there is a living desire, there is a longing, and then Thy house becomes their home, and their desires are after Thee, the living God. Lord, give instructions from above. Take Thy people by heart and hand. Carry them forward, and look unto them, that they may see in Thee all things unnecessary for time and for eternity. Lord, wilt Thou remember then all the sick and the afflicted? She who was in the hospital and had been discharged and gone to her home, Lord, make it further well, and that Thou would be mindful of her, that whatever takes place, that it may be sanctified to the hearts, and that they may look to Thee for all their help. Others who cannot come up to Thy house of prayer, be mindful of them. Many listen to church phone, but Lord, grant an undeserved but so necessary blessing also for each one of them. And grant, Lord, that all who cannot gather, that they may receive a blessing in the place that they are. Be with all the residents in the Bethesda Care Home. Care for them, some couples, others who are alone, where a loved one has been taken away. Lord, be mindful of them, and come and work with Thy Spirit. Give yet a token from above, and cause Thy face to shine upon them. Be with all of us, Lord. We are all on a journey to eternity, and that soon life will pass by, and then we need to appear before Thee, the living God. Oh, make it then well, and teach us from above. Give a token that Thy name may be honored and glorified. Lord, help us then, and grant unto us what is needed. Wilt Thou remember my wife also, where Thou hast made all things so far so well? Oh, it could be different. We deserve nothing. But, oh, when Thou dost speak, and then when Thou dost come, and give yet even externally healing, Lord, may there be a heart of gratitude, and that it in due time she may return here to this place. Grant then, Lord, that we seek it only by Thee, and not by any others. There be others also laid up, that cannot go in and out, and cannot go forth. Oh, help them and care for them. Remember all the widows and the widowers. Care for them and uphold them. Bless them and guide them and protect them. Lord, be mindful then of each one. They have a lonely life, but Thou canst fill it with Thyself, and then it is in matter that is so great. Oh, wilt Thou be mindful then of each one? Remember parents and families. Grant that parents may yet discipline their children and speak to them in the heart of love of the things of time and sense, but also of eternity, that it is coming, and we each need to be born again. The Lord care then for each one in their individual ways. Remember the orphans, the handicapped. Care for them and look upon them. Look upon the homeless ones of this world. Bring thy word to them or they to thy word. Lord, it is all in thy hand. What maketh one to differ from another? Oh, it lays not in us. Lord, all that is of self, then that it generally ends in boasting, and that great I comes on the foreground. But what is of thee brings us in the dust, and then we may melt in the dust before thee, because of thy goodness and because of thy long suffering. O, wilt thou then grant that in this day there may be broken hearts and contrite spirits, that there may be a longing after thee, the living God. Lord, all of us together have a soul destined for eternity. And how will it be when we come to that moment to exchange time with eternity? Oh, then we need a covering for our sin. We need an advocate for our transgressions. We need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and then to learn that outside of Him, then all is ill. But in Him there is a fountain that never can be exhausted. There is hope for the hopeless. There is yet a way to escape the wrath to come. Remember the elderly, Lord, as the elderly are on the border of eternity. Oh, look upon them and care for them, and make that they are a prepared people for a prepared place. Oh, Lord, humble us in the dust. Thy goodness is so great, and Thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. May we not end in man, but may we end in Thee, the living God. May we be given to have an eye upon the Mediator. Oh, one glimpse from Him in the heart of a sinner breaks their heart in pieces, and then they long to know more and more of Him in His states and in His offices. O Lord, give them that there is a hungry and a thirsty people in the midst of us, and that they have come up to Thy house with a sigh and with a prayer, Lord, that there may be food today for such a wretched one. O, give that the storehouse of the greater Joseph, that it may be open, and then to that the word would come by wine and milk without money and without price. That is that spiritual food that is given out of free and sovereign grace. It is thy doing. It is to thy honor. It is thy goodness in the heart of a sinner. Lord, remember then all the matters. Help then in all these ways, and give that this day may be unforgettable, that we end not in man, but that we end in Thee, the living God. Forgive then every sin. Wash and cleanse us in Thy precious blood. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue our worship with the singing of Psalter 415. And the stanzas 5, 6, and 10, while your offerings will be received. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. For the glory of thy name, pardon, Lord, my evil doing, grievous though my sin and shame, hear my cry, thy love renewing. Psalter 4:15, 5, 6, and 10. Dear congregation, we have heard a portion of Scripture read out of Matthew 11, and the part that was read speaks of Christ speaking, and he said, "Whereunto shall I liken this generation?" He had begun there with a warning to all the people that were round about him of the evilness of the generation. He said, "It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows." And then he speaks, of course, of Chorazin and Bethsaida, of Sodom, and the evils that were taking place. And then he had gone on with the verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." And that is very true. That has been taking place throughout the ages, from the beginning of time. Then the Lord had to, even with Adam and after his deep fall in paradise, then he had to be converted. And you say, well, how could it be that Adam had to be converted? He had to be stripped of his own self-righteousness, and he had to realize that that would not merit anything. He was, of course, created in the image of God, but the Lord even had to speak unto him at that time. And then if we think of the times we live, and of course it reflects also to the years gone by, then there have been many burdens in life, burdens of families. There are difficulties, there are trials, and there are burdens of over material matters. And sometimes, then those burdens over material things, they supersede over the burden that should be spiritual. Because the things that we see are of time and sense, and soon they shall be all done and may be over, but the burdens of spiritual life that the Lord places in the soul by the work of His Holy Spirit, then that burden that goes through life, Paul writes about it to the church of Corinth, that those people are a new man. Where the old man and the new man, then there is a war there, also is a burden, but then the Lord, He undertakes for that people. And those with a burden, in a spiritual sense, congregation, what was that, or what is that burden? Then that burden is, I have sinned. And to experience that, that is God-given in the heart of a sinner, that they realize that they stand outside by nature of the kingdom of God, and that they need to be brought inside. And what do those people also experience? They are known as a missing people because most of the time in their life, they miss the Lord. And by missing the Lord, that's not something that grows on the tree of our natural life. Missing the Lord, that is the power of the Spirit in the soul, and that power in the Spirit is effectual, and that gives yet the exercises within the heart. This morning, with God's help, we wish to consider a few words out of Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30. These words Christ is speaking, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far, the words of our text. Our text speaks about Christ speaking of a yoke. First of all, we should see what that yoke is. Secondly, we must learn something of the of the lessons that this yoke communicates to a soul, and then the blessings that are a promise. Thus, the yoke that Christ is speaking of, first of all, that yoke itself, secondly, the lessons, and thirdly, the blessings. I think most of you realize in a natural way what a yoke is. Well, in nature, it's a U-shaped crossbar between two oxen that are working as a team. In Bible times, then this was spoken of burden bearers, but it also referred unto men who were burdened with a very heavy load. And in Bible times, when they had to bear a heavy load, then they had this yoke, and they would pad that yoke thickly so that it would relieve the pain in the, now we're talking about a man, in the shoulders and in the back. Now, Christ is speaking here in a correct way. He is speaking about help to those who have a burden. Now, I'm not talking about a burden that is in a natural sense, but then Christ is speaking about a burden that is laid upon who? Laid upon the church of God. They learn in this life what a burden is. And that burden is not their money, and that burden is not their business or their employment. Their burden becomes, and may it happen to every one congregation, the burden spiritually comes and is placed in the soul that I have sinned against an holy, a righteous, and a well-doing God. And now to learn something of that, can I then take the books of men of nature that were written years ago and look in them to find out? No, they are dead man's bones. That's what some books are. They don't speak. There's no life in them. But when we think about it, that there's a burdens that they bear, then that is the burden of their soul. And there is not anything more urgent or more important that we have to consider than the burden that lays upon the soul. Do you have a burden on your soul? Have you thought about it, congregation? Then I read in Scripture also, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Time and again, then a person will back off from a burden. They say, no, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to do that. But when the Lord comes with His Spirit and He gives a burden in the soul, then you cannot no more fight it and you cannot push it aside. It's easier to tell the sun to stop shining than to have that burden stop in your soul. And that is good. Why is it so good? Because by nature we would push it all away. We would say, and we have said it. We have said it in our covenant head. Goodbye to the Lord. Lord, I don't have any desires. I'm going to eat of the forbidden fruit. And now here, when he speaks of it, Christ is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. my yoke upon you. Who did Christ often reprove? Well, the Pharisees. The Pharisees placed heavy burdens on others, but not on themselves. But Christ Jesus, He has placed by His Spirit a burden upon certain people, and Christ Jesus, He is the great burden bearer. Then what man has to experience? And then when sin becomes knowledgeable in the soul, and yet some people will say, oh, that preacher, he's always talking about sin. Because if we don't know sin, congregation, we never will learn Christ. We have to know where we came from. We have to learn by grace that I stand outside. We have to be taught by the Spirit. Draw me, and I shall run after thee. And if that takes place, then that people are not complaining about a burden. Oh no, but then they have in their hearts that this, what an eternal wonder that the Lord even comes and that He shows to me that there is a matter in the soul that is troublesome. Thus the yoke. Take my yoke upon me. The yoke. How can we bring that out? How can we see something of that yoke? Maybe you look at it first in a natural way. When you first came to Loma Alta, the very first thing we saw was two oxen with a yoke, and behind it was a man with a plow, and the cart that was there behind them was a wooden wheels. Now that man had a yoke. Those oxen had a yoke. And that bound them together, huh? Would it not be a wonder if you would realize what this yoke is, and that you are bound unto Him who paid the whole price to redeem a sinner? Then it doesn't remain a yoke. Then it remains a privilege. Then it remains a great and eternal wonder that an Almighty God would even look upon me. And those people always say that. And when they may have more experience and they're led a little further, then they come to that point, Lord, why me? Are they here today? Why me? While thou passeth by thousands and millions, and the Lord draws this one and He draws that one, and it is all according to His divine will from eternity. But here when we talk about here that it's speaking so clearly, take my yoke upon you, then what type of yoke would Christ be talking about? Well, first of all, we could see something, the yoke of Christ's doctrine. The doctrine of the mediator, the doctrine of Scripture, is not a doctrine that is loved by man in his natural state. What is that doctrine that Christ had brought forth? What do we see in that? Well, there's a demand there of obedience. There is a demand of humility. There's a demand of falling in the dust before Him. There's a demand that comes upon that sinner. And then they don't desire that they become something. No. Then they long that they may learn something of that only way of escape. And what takes place then, huh? Oh, they're so proud. I'm converted. And I have been taught. I have it from the Lord, and so now I can go forward. What do you really hear from them? In the dust. They come in the dust congregation. Humility. If you do not know what humility is, put a question mark over what you have in your heart. And he said, "For take my yoke." We find it in 1 Corinthians 1, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." There's Paul speaking to the church of Corinth. Paul turned right around and he was speaking to the church of Ephesus. And then he said unto them, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." And now for a man to accept that, for a person to realize it, for a person to follow that, oh, then that old man inside, then he wants to come up and he wants to say, "Yes, but I did some of this. I did that. And I am on my way." Oh, push it away, congregation. It is of him that had come here upon this earth to suffer and to die. And because of Christ's coming here upon this earth, there is a way to escape the wrath to come. And now that he is saying, "My yoke here, take my yoke upon you." What else is there? I can only mention it briefly, of course, this morning. But the yoke of Christ's laws. The true disciple has a longing for true obedience. No, a true disciple of the and you know, boys and girls, you know what a disciple is, huh? A follower of Christ. That's the definition. And now Christ has done away. He has not done away with the moral law. That law stays there. And it's so beneficial. Finally, the Lord uses the law. And then what does the Lord do? He takes that law, you heard it this morning. And then he takes that law as a mirror. That mirror is held up in front of a person. And who do they see? They see themselves. And then can they agree with everything in the law? Oh, when there's just a little life inside, then they have only one word that they can say. Guilty. 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 But there's one that fulfilled the law. It's not done away with. It's the Christ that fulfilled that law. And he had fulfilled it according to the demand of his Father. So, the doctrine of Christ, that Christ had come with his law, and he had fulfilled it, and then it says here, "My yoke upon you," the yoke of Christ's cross. And you say, how can that be? Find in the Gospel of Luke, "Bear his cross, and come after me." That is what a disciple is. And what is included in that? What do we see in that? Well, we see in that there's one very important word. And what's that word? Self-denial. Can we do that so easily? No. I don't know about you. Not this one. Deny self. That self has to come on the back burner. And that the name of the mediator is exalted. Maybe someone asked, and it has happened, they say, "Well, can you preach too much of Christ?" What's your answer? Can you preach too much of Christ? Is there someone here that can elaborate on it? On Christ in the state of his humiliation and his exaltation? of Christ in his offices as prophet, priest, and king? Oh, the depth of it, congregation. And then by the richest person in grace learns but a little here below. Thus, when we have to deny ourselves, then we must profess that he is the king. So he says here, take my yoke upon you. And then he comes to a point here and he says, and learn of me. When Christ had said, and learn of me, well, he was referring to his teachings. He was referring to the law. He appointed the sacrifices, his demands that were upon the church, and how the church must learn when it says, and learn of me. Now just take that in a simplified way. Is there anyone better to learn from? Of course, the answer is no. He is saying here in this text, learn of me. And we say, sinner, learn of what I have instructed you in the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. He would say, learn of me by observing and listening to the words that I have to speak unto you. He is saying, learn of me. I am that prophet that had been prophesied, and especially in Advent time, that I am that prophet that has come, and I have come from heaven. I have come to dwell upon earth. And as a prophet, I am to tell you what is to come. And through his life, he spoke about his sufferings and his death. And the majority of the people didn't understand. Shall I change that? Should I change that? Even the disciples did not understand. Could not understand. Say, well, where can you find a sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ? We have so many sermons of so many old writers, so many others. Now I talk about the perfect preacher. Where do you find sermons of him? Then you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You do that today when you're home. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And right in Matthew 5 are the first points of the way of grace in the heart of the sinner. And why is that? Well, when we look at it, congregation, in Matthew 5, the Lord starts out with poor in spirit. Music that people don't like to hear. Oh, they would have been happy to hear, as the Pharisees would desire, to tell me how good I am and what I've done. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He says, blessed are they that mourn. Talking about the doctrine of Christ and the marks of grace. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Must we not be put to shame? How often that we say that when we hunger after all the temporal things that are in this earth, in this world, the day is coming, congregation, it'll be all burned up. All destroyed, this whole earth. And then what is left for your soul for eternity? He speaks about the merciful. He speaks about the pure in heart. He speaks about the peacemakers. And then he said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now here, when it says here, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He would say, people, disciples, Read back further what I have done and what I have spoken on the mount. How I have addressed you. How I have brought everything out. And I have informed you just how it goes in the heart of a sinner. Just what takes place in that work of regeneration, in that work of conversion. Then the Lord takes that sinner and a radical change takes place in their lives. Learn of me. What else could we say? Learn of me by example. Some people like to take this man and try to follow him, be an example, or take another one, even a godly person, and be an example, and they try to be an example to others. But now here, he speaks about the King of the Church. And then he says, here as an, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And how did the Lord bring that out? Learn of me. What did he have to say? For I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly. What don't I read here? What don't I read here, congregation? I don't read that who Christ, the people Christ was speaking to, certainly there were many converted people there. But I don't read of boasting. I don't read of that Christ is telling them to exalt themselves. No. It doesn't say it in that way. It speaks of that one grand truth of humility. It speaks of Psalm 51 that it says speaks of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Thus, in all of these ways, then the sinner has to be abased. The mediator must be exalted. And he cannot be exalted high enough. If you ever may learn something of what sin has caused, and if you ever learn something that I stand aside, and between me and the Lord is a great gulf, and in that great gulf I cannot pass it. I cannot step over it, no. But then I have to learn that great gulf was bridged only by the mediator. And he bridged it in such a way that he takes his whole church and that they may come over that gulf and that they may yet see him face to face. Paul had spoken about that too. And thus to be exalted, to exalt the Lord and the sinner low. And then he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. How can that be? Do you realize that? How can that be? The Lord of glory, who left his tabernacle in heaven, the Almighty God, the Son of the Father, the second person in the Holy Trinity, here upon the earth, in his divine nature and his human nature, and even in his human nature, not one evil thought or sin. And then he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And when we read that, then his meekness and that humility that appears in Christ, in that he assumed our human nature. That he left the tabernacle in heaven, came here upon the earth, and that he had come only for one purpose, to seek and to save those who are lost. Thus, we read in Romans 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Thus, words cannot describe that he says here, meek and lowly. Find the same thing in Zechariah in chapter 9 that it speaks of that way. And now when we consider that and think of it, God in the flesh, true God, true man, truly righteous. Now, who else could we be speaking of that maintains those 3 points? Only here, Him who has spoke, who speaks and it is, and commands and it stands firm. And Christ had said, learn of me. Why that way? Well, at that time there were the Pharisees, there were the doctors of the law, there were the leaders, and he is saying, don't go to those Pharisees. They will clothe you with clothes that isn't right. Don't go to those Pharisees, they're always boasting. Those doctors of the law? No, I'm telling you, don't go to them. Learn of me. Now just think of that. Learn of me. And there is not a thing greater in this life than to learn something of who Christ is. What He has done. And that He is that only mediator. Acts 4:12 says, there's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. None. And then he comes here further and he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now here comes that word rest. So we find here, take my yoke, take that first upon you. Learn of me, I am the teacher of all teachers. And then he says here, I am meek and lowly in heart. And now beside all that, then he comes in his own words, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Is that something that lodges in the soul? Often I have said that in regeneration there is faith, hope, and love. And now that faith, hope, and love is as a seed. It has to germinate, and it has to grow, and it doesn't grow because of me. It grows because the Spirit of Christ initiates it and makes it grow in the soul. And now he says here, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Are they looking for rest? There's many more people that are looking for a temporal rest than a spiritual rest. And one day, after a day's work in a human way, then a person needs rest. It changes, of course, as the years go by in your life. But here we have another rest. A rest. A spiritual rest. That one day will be forever. The Lord has spoken of that so clearly in His holy word. And then He says in His holy word that He speaks about a rest in the word named peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. That peace is a rest. That peace is God-given. That peace comes from a surprising God. And then Christ had said, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Rest. Oh, does that mean then there will be rest 24/7? No. Not in that way, congregation. here in this life, the Church of God, they have moments of rest. They have moments of peace. And they have moments of joy. But they have also those times that it can become so dark inside. It can come in such a way that everything is taken away. It's not gone, but it takes place as it's all gone. Then they cannot find rest. No. Oh, then it can become so dark in the soul that they cannot read the Bible and they can't have any courage to pray. But the Lord says, my peace I give unto you. And now that comes, that rest, that is a spiritual rest. Who's against that rest? Oh, Satan and his cohorts. They are so against that people may have a little rest. Rest from that old man that lives within. Rest from the three-headed enemy that plagues that people, the devil, the world, and their own flesh. And then there can be such a strife in the soul. But the Lord also said, there is no rest, I say, to the wicked. And thus the Lord was speaking. Now how often the church is plagued with the matter that stands between the Lord and their soul. Oh, then if they experience that, and if the Lord may return unto them, and then they have something so special that takes place in their soul, not every day, time and again, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul explains that so clearly in Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation. Why is that word in the Bible? Huh? Why do you find it in the Bible? Because they are condemning themselves so much. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then he is speaking here, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Oh, that great eye often is in the way, and all the things round about us, but there are moments that the Lord gives a rest and a peace, that the Lord gives moments that they may have be upbraided, and that people, that one day, then they have it time and again, that they may sing, all who, with heart confiding, depend on God alone. 356, while your offering is taken, the three stanzas. Depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains abroad, his people are surrounded forever by their God. 356. text says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ is speaking of that here. And when he speaks of that rest, there is an eternal rest for the people of God. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, here we look through a glass darkly, but then face to face. He said, now we know in part, but then it shall be known that what is right. Oh, that the Lord may yet give that. And in Hebrews it writes, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Rest from the toiling here upon this misek here below, from all the conflicts that come up in the soul, for the sorrow that time and again passes, and then think of the Lord himself, of how he suffered, and well, the trials that he had led to the cross. And when a person that may be taught by the Lord sees something of that, then they themselves come into that place of humility. And then they have to, if they learn something of what Christ had spoken from the cross, and that penetrates into their soul, they say, for such a worm of the dust as I am. But the Lord had already looked upon them from eternity. And that's the wonder of all wonders. If that was not so, there would be no hope for any person here upon the earth. But there is, he said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That yoke that is light when contrasted to the yoke of sin. Because sin that fills with bitterness, sin has its wages. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And if that verse did not go any further, then it would be almost hopeless. And you say, yes, the wages of sin is death, and that's the end of it. But then Paul had written, but the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thus, there's wages that are to be paid, and there is a gift that is given, and that gift is that free, and that sovereign grace. That gift is what the Lord places in the soul, and the Lord upholds that people. He strengthens that people. He encourages that people. He leads them. Oh, he is unto that people, as spoken in Genesis 15, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Can you imagine that congregation? And then to feel by the power of the Spirit that it's applied unto your own soul. Oh, there is the wonder of that grace that Christ had merited. Then we see here, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ's yoke is full of mercy. Christ's yoke is full of goodness. Christ's yoke is peace and love. And that's what he lays on his people. The world are strangers of it. They cannot fathom it at all, no. He says, but what will it be to meet the Lord and not to receive the blood? And now he who has spoken here, that is before that he has shed his blood for the redemption of his church. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Oh, it is not a yoke that is degrading. It is not a yoke that is oppressive. It's not a yoke that is grievous. No, His commandments, the word says, is not grievous, but the world and the devil are cruel. But the King of Kings is the best master. Now I say that to your congregation. The world and everything in it is cruel. The devil included. But the King of Kings, the Master, is so gracious to His people. Oh, if I could, I would place it in every one of your hearts. There is such a joy at times to serve Him who is the living God. And then to learn that it's not in me. It's all in Him. From beginning to end, and the smallest article of exercise in the soul, that's from above. Everything is from above. If we start to think it's from me, if we start to think about it's my works, and because I do this and I do that, no congregation. James says to put it all aside, but to look unto Him. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is great. And then I could say right with that, that Paul had written, and that refers also unto the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee. Is it? Are you listening? Is that grace sufficient for you? Do you measure it? Do you think? We are now yet in time. Soon it will be eternity. What is 10, 20, 30 years? What is 70, 80, 90 years? The longest life is so short. And eternity is no end. And there's no second opportunity. But the Lord said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is great, is light. Oh, to think that my grace, the grace of God, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Lord, we come unto thee at the end of this hour. Just a few poor words. Lord, bless it to the hearts. Give exercise in the soul. Grant that we may flee sin, and that we may flee unto thee, the living God. Oh, there is still room at the feet of the Master for a poor, a needy, a sinner that needs to be looked upon. Lord, remember then thy own word. Remember the congregation. Bring us back together tonight that we may hear what thou hast to say unto us. And forgive what has been done amiss. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude with Psalter 3, the fourth stanza. And first, the consistory wishes to announce the second wedding announcement of Andre Marinas Tikalar and Linda Hertrida Elida Bice. The wedding service is scheduled for Friday, September 16, in Fort McLeod, with Reverend Den Hollander officiating. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 3, the last stanza, therefore, kings, be wise, give ear. receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.